Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. It's been chilly here this last week. It's been very chilly. We got some rain, and a little bit of snow. People were putting in bulbs for next spring, and the first flakes of snow fell. Just a little tiny sliver of moon up in the sky. So it's going to be very, very dark for Halloween on Monday night. It's the time of year when people clean out their lake cabins. They bring in the docks off the lakes. Mr. and Mrs. Jensen were out cleaning out their cabin, and he went to throw some garbage out in the woods, and his compost, and he could hear these deer fighting with each other, the sound of antlers clashing like a sword fight out in a clearing. Two male deer so engrossed in this battle for a female, they didn't even notice him standing there under the trees. And it made him think back to when he first met his wife. When was that? He was trying to remember. They were both in choir together, and they just sort of gravitated together. There was never a time that he can remember that he was deeply, deeply in love with her. They just sort of became a couple. They just sort of accrued to each other. People started to talk about them as a couple, but there was no time in his life when he would have fought so hard for her. It's mysterious to him to watch these deer. The woman that he was maybe really in love with was Margie Krebsbach before she married Carl Krebsbach when she was in high school with him. And he remembers this dance. They were dancing at the Halloween dance, and she put her hand on his hip, and then she hooked her thumb down into his belt. And they were slow dancing, and he was dancing very close to her, and she was singing into his ear, which girls just didn't do back then. And what if she was his destiny, Margie, and she went off and she married Carl, and now he would miss his destiny? And wouldn't this turn into a tragedy now, that he had married somebody he wasn't meant to marry? And wouldn't this wind up badly with a bottle of bourbon in some cheap hotel room, in some railroad tank town somewhere, and a pistol there on an oil cloth on the table, and him writing a note to Margie, his last words: "You were my destiny, and you made the darkness light, and now without you everything is dark." He thought about this as he walked back into the cabin, and there was Mrs. Jensen waiting for him. She said, "How are you?" He said, "Fine." She said, "What are you thinking about?" He said, "Oh, nothing. Nothing really. They've been married a long time." It's Reformation Sunday on Sunday at the Lutheran Church, and so the Altar Guild has hung a banner there in the sanctuary: "Ecclesia Semper Reformandum Est." The church is always reforming. They put it up in Latin, because if they put it up in English, it would offend people. This is a group of people who are less interested in change than anybody else. So Pastor Liz is going to preach on Sunday on the gospel, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, which nobody in that church believes whatsoever. But they don't care. She can say that in the sermon. That's not going to get their goat. What would really irk them would be is if you brought a bunch of the women together and you said, "Why, at church suppers, couldn't we take the salt and pepper shakers and put them in the middle of the table instead of having them over on the sideboard the way we always do? And why, you know, so that when we want to season our food, I mean, we wouldn't have to walk across the room to get it. Why couldn't we just put the salt and pepper shakers here? I know you've always done it the other way, but and as long as we're changing, why couldn't we serve the food family style instead of having a serving line there and have you plop the food? And instead of meatloaf, could we have more salads, like a salad bar or something?" Boy, The church could split up over an issue like that. You could have a salad bar church and a meatloaf church. No, no, no. They would not accept that for a minute. They would just look at you and say and explain to you why the salt and pepper shakers have to be on the sideboard and why there has to be a serving line. And if you came back and tried to argue them into it, they would say, well, all right, you go ahead. You go right ahead and you take over the whole thing. Go ahead. You buy the food, you fix the supper and everything. I'm done with it. 30 years I've been making church suppers, and what thanks do I get? Just a slap in the face. Now she'll preach on change, and people can accept that in a sermon because they don't really care about sermons. But supper and how supper is served, that's a whole other matter. So it's Halloween. There'll be a big Halloween party in Lake Wobegon tonight. The high school kids going out on a haunted hayride. And they'll be towed all around town and out into the country, all dressed up as hobos and cowboys and mimes and Elvis. And dressed up as Lady Gaga, who is herself a Halloween character. And and they'll be riding around in the dark, and the hay wagons will carry them past that barn, which is out on the gravel road, just out north of town, north of the Muskeg, where children used to hang out. Teenagers would learn to smoke in that barn. And then one year they didn't anymore because they were sitting around and a hitchhiker walked in, and he was all filthy, covered with mud. And he said he was just going to spend the night, and he sat down in the corner. And then one of the boys remembered that his father had told him that the troll dolls used to live there, and they raised hogs, and they had a son named Gunnar, who one fall, the week before the hogs were to be slaughtered, was walking along the wooden fence on the feedlot, and he lost his balance, and he fell, and he hit his head, and he suffocated in the mud and the manure, and the family left, and they never, ever came back. They asked the hitchhiker where he was from, and he smiled at them. And in his mouth were all of these tiny, blackened, rotten teeth. And he stuck out his tongue and was covered with mud. Halloween. Halloween. It's a time when people get loose. People can get loose. They used to get loose. There was a bunch of boys who took some geese in gunny sacks and they put them in Mr. Berge's trunk of his car when he was getting drunk on Halloween. And then they asked him if they could borrow his jack. So he went to open up the trunk and the geese came boiling out of there. 16 geese. That man had been on the wagon for a while, but he went off the wagon at that point. And those geese tore around town, and they were chasing children who were out trick-or-treating, little children out in the dark, geese coming in low and hard with their beaks. That was years ago, and for years thereafter, all over this country, psychiatrists were trying to lead their clients back towards that point in their childhood where something happened that turned them toward despair and depression and anxiety, and they uncovered geese on Halloween. No, it used to be a great time for cutting loose, and it was a time when boys would learn that principle that you are responsible for what happens, whether you intended it or not, you see. That's the great principle of adulthood. You may not have meant for your little joke to hurt somebody, but you are responsible nonetheless. Back in my father's day, when outhouses were still in use, Halloween was the night when the boys would gather down at the ends of the alleys and they would wait for men to come out back to the little house. Many people were reluctant to take up indoor plumbing. They were fond of the outhouse, and it was just more private out there. And they were used to it, and so they clung to them on into the early 20s after World War I. They would wait for Mr. Starr, the newspaper editor, or Mr. Tomerdahl, the Lutheran pastor, or for the mayor of the town to come out. And the men knew the boys were waiting. It was Halloween, after all. And they took a shotgun with them, and they took a lantern, and they threatened them out there in the weeds, but then they needed to go in there and to do what they had to do, and they tried to remain vigilant in there, and they would bang on the walls. "You boys, get out of there. I know you're there. I've got a gun." But in order to do what they had come out there to do, they had to relax. And when the boys heard the unmistakable sound of relaxation, they charged in out of the weeds, and they hit those outhouses, and they tipped them forward onto the door. It was a serious moment. Old man Magandance was out there with his shotgun, and when that outhouse, at his most vulnerable moment, his most private moment, suddenly the world turned and he fell forward, and the whiskey that was up in the rafters crashed down, and the lantern was there and it burst into flames, and he only had one exit. It was a two-holer, and he went out the right-hand hole, and there was the pit waiting for him down there. You were responsible. You were responsible for what happened. Oh, yes, you were. There were boys who decided that they would cut a boxcar loose from a train that had been sitting on the side track for a while, and they would roll that freight car, that boxcar, out to block the main intersection, the main crossing coming into town from the south, so that anybody coming into town would have to take a half a mile detour and come around. It was meant as a joke. So there were 40 boys, and they all put their shoulders to it, and they got it rolling. It was hard to even get the first couple inches, and then it started to roll, and they moved it along nicely. But when they came to the crossing, the boxcar wouldn't stop. It kept on going, and it picked up speed. And then it shunted off the sidetrack onto the main line, and the North Coast Limited was expected westbound soon. And they knew that they were responsible now. This was now their boxcar. And so they got in the truck, and they had never driven over railroad ties before, but they drove chasing that boxcar, and their teeth banging in their jaws. And it got farther and farther, and then they couldn't see it anymore. It disappeared. They were chasing it through the woods. And then they saw the wavering headlight beam of the North Coast Limited heading east, the boxcar going west, the fast train coming east, and they got off the track in the pickup truck, and down the slope they went as the North Coast Limited went by. The boxcar was never found. According to the station master, it had 25 sofas and 3 grand pianos. It was never found. Years later, a boy who had been one of those boys and who was now a man out duck hunting heard piano music in the woods, and it was a tune that his mother had always played. He followed it to a clearing. There was a sofa there. that was full of mice. Somebody had been sitting on it. It was all wet and rotten and mildewed and full of mice. And the piano music was coming from somewhere. He looked for it and never did find it. Da da dee dee dee, di da di da di, di da dee dee dee, di dee, hi da dee dee dee. Halloween, Monday. Have a good time. Be careful. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are both there.